What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Beck Antonucci. It is the 1st of April. So April Fools and not April Fools because you know what? The first 3 months of the year has passed. We are one quarter of the way into 2024 and I would love for you to get curious about how you feel about that. How do you feel about your life? How do you feel about your relationship with self? How do you feel about how intentional you have been this year? You know, I get applications to work with me from women all over the world every single day. And some women will just be like, yep, let's go. I'm ready. Now's my time. And I am such a yes to a woman's full body yes. And then there are women who will reach out and this is totally okay for them to do this, but they'll reach out, they'll connect, they'll want the work and the work will feel terrifying and they'll run from it. But what happens with all of those women, I've been in this game long enough now. I know 4 years doesn't feel like a huge amount of time, but it also feels long enough to know that those women come back. So they'll apply to work with me, they'll lean in. I'm not here to force anyone to do the work. This is the thing. I can't force you to do the work if you're not ready. And if your journey is to lean in, to get curious about leaning in and then say, actually, I can't, I'm too terrified or right now is not my time, or I need to go into a complete denial and avoidance process for a year or two before I face off with this, that's your journey. And I'm not here to force the arm of your journey, but I don't want you to take longer on this journey of self-love, self-acceptance, self-expression, self-actualization, excavation, just really being your fully embodied, worthy woman. If a part of you is saying, lean in, let's go, I'm going to invite you to get really curious about that part. Because whatever you're avoiding, I just want to let you know, it can run faster than you. And whatever you are avoiding, it's going to go with you wherever you run to. So have you ever heard of that saying, wherever I go, there I am? Like you can get on the plane and you can do your eat, pray, love in Bali. You can break up with a partner. You can travel the world. You can do all of these great things. But wherever you fucking go, there you are. So whatever it is that you're running from, it's going to come with you wherever you're going. And if something that I'm sharing on this podcast is activating something within you and there's a desire to lean in, get curious about that because whether you lean in now or whether you lean in a year or whether you lean in 2 years, until you face off with that thing, it is going to fucking show up. And it's interesting that I'm saying this right now because essentially this conversation is directly related to the solo podcast that I share with you today. This is essentially a very personal podcast with so many insightful lessons for you to take away from it. And I share with you how in the 11th hour of mine and Jake's 12-month breakup, I finally have the awareness and the epiphany moment now of why Jake and my breakup went for so long. Because in the 11th hour of our breakup, the trauma that I went to Jake unconsciously to protect me from ever touching got activated by him. Unintentionally, with absolutely zero maliciousness, Jake very, very, very unintentionally triggered the trauma that I have been terrified to touch my entire life. And now it was one of the most painful experiences I've ever personally gone through. And it has created so much spaciousness, expansion, and deep healing for me, because it's created this deep opening within me to be able to actually go in and accept and create protection for the bullied girl that up until now, I have rejected my entire fucking life. So if you have been in a journey of rejecting your inner child or rejecting your inner teenager, and rejection is a core wound that you face off with in your life, you are going to want to listen to this episode all the way from the beginning, all the way to the very, very end. It's personal, it's raw, it's real, it's vulnerable. Some tears come out and I know you're going to love it. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me so that I can connect with you and so that I can share it as well. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of a solo podcast episode. Let's fucking go. What is the trauma that you are terrified to touch? And what are all the ways that you keep yourself safe from really going all the way into it? And Is there anyone in your life that you are using, that you are resourcing to protect yourself from really diving into this trigger, into this trauma? And this episode is to really support you to create an opening within, to be willing to excavate the parts of the self that we've been really afraid to go to. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story, but not the full one because, it's a little bit personal and very, very private. But my entire life, the main pain, the thing that has caused the deepest amount of pain that has impacted the rest of my journey has been the bullying. The bullying is where the seed of the trauma was planted. That's where all of my fears of rejection were created. That's where all my fears of not being good enough as I am were created. That's where all my fears of not belonging were created. That's where I learned about comparison. That's where I learned about the power of popularity and being beautiful and being wealthy. You know, as a young impressionable girl, when we go to a prestigial girl school, even if you didn't, I believe that we learn that being pretty makes you powerful. Being popular makes you powerful. Being wealthy makes you powerful. Having nice things makes you powerful. Being the it girl makes you powerful. And so some of us can really desire to create that for ourselves because we believe that that is what makes us powerful as a person. I have a high value for appearance and I take really great care of my health, and I often sit in question of, is this directly attached to the bullied girl who sees beautiful people as powerful? And I would challenge myself that it comes from a really healthy place in terms of I love taking care of my personal health. I love fitness. It brings a lot of joy to me. And I do believe there is a part of my inner teenager that really sees beautiful people as more powerful than those who are not. And I'm not saying that that's true from my woman, but I know that that's true from my inner teenager because that's what she was taught. And we're not here to right and wrong ourselves in terms of what we were taught as little girls, but we are here to get curious about it and ask, well, are these beliefs serving us and how are they serving us in great ways, and also how are they hindering and impacting us and limiting us in ineffective ways? And so this trauma around the bullying, it's been something that I feel I have been working on essentially my whole entire life. And I've tried so hard. I mean, the herpes virus was the catalyst of everything. Everything that has happened in my life that is good now, but the herpes virus was the catalyst of me no longer avoiding the bullied teenager. And I became really aware of, like, oh my God, I am the way that I am because this happened and then this led to this. And then, oh my God, the fake boobs. Of course, I was going to come back from overseas with a horror overseas breast surgery because God was trying to show me that I needed to feel worthy from within. All of it, this huge amount of awareness just kept landing in my space. And yet, the bullying wound just didn't feel healed, and I'm not here to say that it is, but every time I went to access the bullied little girl, I found it incredibly hard to accept her. In fact, it felt so easy to reject her, which is amazing, right? The core wound that was created for her was the core wound of rejection, and that has been the thing that I've been running from essentially my whole entire life. The thing that was created for her was rejection. The thing that she most desired for me was the opposite of that. And yet what ended up happening is I felt like I needed to reject her too. And so I was having this experience of, I know that I get to do the inner child work. I know that I am trained in inner child work. And in fact, I love my inner child. I have so much acceptance and compassion and play and nurturance for my inner child. But my inner child is healthy. My inner child is alive. My inner child is playful. I'm really connected to her. It felt very easy to create a deep felt sense of acceptance for the little girl because I thought she was cute and playful and innocent and joyful and happy. But the bullied teen where all the pain was created, oh my God, to have acceptance for her, there was so much resistance within me, basically my whole entire life up until recently. I would look at her and I would think, why aren't you accepted? Why are you the bullied one? Why aren't you good enough to fit in? Why are you ugly? Why are you annoying? I just had so much judgment around who she was, why she's showing up in the world in the way in which she is. I had no compassion for the ways in which she tried to fit in. I was just like, fuck, you're annoying. And it's so interesting because I would do so many different healings and modalities where I would connect with her. And when I would connect with her, she would think I'm amazing. She'd be like, fuck yeah, you live a sick life. You can do what you want, when you want. You're in Bali. She thinks my boyfriends are hot. She thinks I'm pretty. She thinks I'm cool. She loves my fake boobs. She's just like, you can buy what you want. You're just like, you're so awesome. I can't wait to be you. Whilst she adored me, I had so much resistance around accepting her. And this has been something that's showed up my entire life. And I just knew that there was a block there and I just didn't know how to shift that narrative. And, you know, I've had a lot of judgment of self around this relationship with Jake and the continual revisiting of this relationship with Jake, to the point that if I was not me and I was someone else giving me advice, I'd be like, bitch, you know that you don't want to be with this guy. Do not fucking get back together with him. And I just kept asking myself, why am I doing this loop with Jake of like, we're broken up, we're back together, I moved to a different country, we're trying to get back together. I get back together with him, I get straight on a plane and go back to somewhere else. I'm like, why do we keep looping in this experience with each other? And it's really interesting. Number one, I think that we were brother and sister in a past life. Number two, I really believe that if you're looping in an experience with someone, maybe a friendship, maybe a family member, maybe a partner, maybe an ex, that the two of you are going to continue playing out those loops and playing out those dynamics until you have learned all that person has come into your life to teach you, and those loops will complete once the loops are complete and not until then. And so what's really interesting is Jake and I broke up, attempted to get back together over Christmas. I came back to Bali, and in the 11th hour of this 12-month-long breakup, the trauma and the wound that I went to him unconsciously to protect, he ended up triggering. Not intentionally, but he ended up triggering. And in this experience, it has created so much awareness for me that the person that we go to create safety around the wound that we're afraid to tend to ourselves, it will be that same person that triggers it. That person, yes, we co-regulate with others. Yes, being in relationship, they are meant to co-create safety with us, but they cannot create all of our safety. And so I didn't realize that unconsciously I had gone to Jake to protect my bullied little girl. And what was the problem in our relationship the entire time? That my bullied little girl connected with his bullied little boy, and we couldn't create the intimacy that my woman yearned for and ached for. And so I was constantly left feeling unfulfilled and disappointed in the face of our relationship and my woman feeling unmet by him. But he was constantly left meeting the bullied little girl. And so my woman keeps taking me away from him and saying, no, Rebecca, this is not the choice that we're making anymore for ourselves. And then I come back to Bali. I'm not going to tell you the full story because I don't find it incredibly necessary. But when we completed for the final time, we had a beautiful phone call. And on that beautiful phone call, his birthday was about 2 weeks out. And I know that when we complete, Jake and I have to take complete separation from each other. Otherwise, we play back into this attachment and we play back into this loop and we create this safety and we create the familiarity and then we stick to each other like magnets and we end up doing the whole Jake and Beck thing all over again. And everyone in my life is over the Jake and Beck thing. I'm over the Jake and Beck thing. He's over the Jake and Beck thing. My podcast is over the Jake and Beck thing. My family are over the Jake and Beck thing. All my friends are over the Jake and Beck thing. I'm sure all of his friends are over the Jake and Beck thing. That it's really important that we create such rock solid boundaries so that we don't do the Jake and Beck thing, because we just ended up doing it and it's not great for anyone. And I know that my partner is coming and he's not going to fucking come when there's an old car in my garage. My husband is not going to show up when my ex-boyfriend is still about. My husband is so embodied in his worth and who he's here to be and the kind of partnership that he's here to create, that he's not going to even entertain the idea of Rebecca Antonucci while she's still entertaining this codependent, trauma-bonded, bullied little child relationship that's cute and loving but also not incredibly healthy that Jake and Beck have created with each other. My man is going to be like, you fucking complete that shit, get clear of it, be in your integrity and your empowerment, have time to yourself, create space for me to show, and once you've created space, I'm going to reveal myself. And up until then, the soul of him is like, I do not choose a woman that is still entangled in this little trauma-bonded relationship dynamic that you have going on. So let's clear that up, Rebecca, because you're a woman, and I'm here to call your woman forward. Literally, I've been writing letters to myself from the soul of Jake and the soul of my husband, and Jake's like, please don't rope me back in because I will play in this dynamic with you. And my future partner is like, Please clear up this because you know what you're here for and our family requires you to step more and more and more into your woman. So do not do this any further. And I'm like, oh my God. Even recently I went to a woman's sister circle and I did this ancestral family healing and it was, wow, it was amazing. And you sit there and you're doing this exercise with two other women and one woman embodies you. She holds the energy of you and one woman embodies the energy of either your current partner, your future partner, or your ex-partner that you're kind of still in dynamic with and trying to complete with. And so I requested that one woman hold the energy of Jake and one woman hold the energy of me. And then they basically hold a neutral container and then they just tune into the energy that they're meant to attune to and then they receive whatever it is that they're feeling and they communicate what they're feeling. And the woman that was holding the energy of Jake turns to me and she was like, oh, I feel nothing from my neck down. Like my body is void of any feeling. I can't feel my heart. I can't feel my body. And then I also feel like there's this chain attached to my head and you can pull it. And if you pull it, I'll come. And if you let go, I'm just like trying to wait for you to pull me again. But I'm like attached to you and I will come if you pull. And I was like, oh my God, that is essentially my relationship with Jake. And when she described the sensation of her body, I was like, that's what it feels like for me to have sex with him. Like I can feel from my head up, but I can't feel from my neck down. My body is completely empty. It was just so amazing to have this experience. And so, like I said, Jake and I have to be so boundaried with each other because we do have this attachment and we do have this bond and we do have the friendship and we end up doing the Jake and Beck thing that everyone is over all over again. And so when I got back to Bali in the first 2 weeks and we had a phone conversation we just chose to complete, I knew his birthday was coming up and it was about 2 weeks away. And I shared with him on the phone conversation, my intuition said, you need to tell him right now that on his birthday in 2 weeks' time, you're not going to text him. And Jake and I always text each other for our birthdays, even if we're not together. He texts me for mine when we weren't together. This was his first birthday of us not being together. And so I said to him on the phone, baby, I just want to let you know, I know your birthday's coming up. I love you. I want you to know that I'm going to be thinking about you on your birthday, but I'm going to let you know right now that I'm going to choose not to call you and not to text you because it's not going to be good for us. And if I text you, we're going to play back into this Jake and Beck thing. And it's not going to be good for us. If it's 2 weeks of no talk, let's just commit to not talking on your birthday as well so that we can continue to create this separation. And he was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. I really want you to text me for my birthday. I know that Jake at the time was working on his relationship with receiving. And a part of what created pain in our relationship is that Jake wouldn't ask to receive, especially when he really needed it. And so now that he was leaning into this, and he literally made a request of me to text him on his birthday. I was like, oh, fuck. My truth said, say no. And then this desire to give to him when he'd never been asking for what he wanted in the relationship the entire time, I chose in that moment. I know I put a podcast out a few weeks ago about choosing from choice and choosing from self-abandonment. I self-abandoned in that moment. And I said, well, okay, honey, I'll message you on your birthday. Now, remember, when we choose from choice, that's going to create so much expansion in our lives. When we choose from self-abandonment, that's going to create pain, problems, limitation, suffering. So his birthday comes and I'd written him a beautiful, heartfelt birthday text. And then what did Jake and Beck do? Jake and Beck do what Jake and Beck do. And we start this Jake and Beck conversation and we start this loop and we get entangled with each other. And then we do that for 2.5 days. And Jake shares something with me at the 2.5 day mark that created a lot of pain for me to hear. And in the receiving of what he said, it triggered the trauma of the teenager. And oh my fucking God, I know that what is meant for me will never miss me, including I went to Jake to save me from the bullied little girl and he protected her the entire time. And at the 11th hour of this frustrating 12-month-long breakup, the exact person that I had gone to for 3 years to protect her was the one that triggered her the most. Now, he didn't do this intentionally. He did this innocently and he didn't try to cause me pain. He thought that he was sharing something that was important for me to know. It was something that I would have preferred not to hear, but he felt like he was in his integrity to tell me. And my inner teenager just started screaming and to feel her trauma and to feel her within me. It felt so alive and so painful. To be honest, some of the most intense pain that I have felt in probably since she was first triggered 20 years ago. And I'm so glad that I was supported with my nervous system mentor. I am so glad that I have such incredible friends who love and care for me. Bali loves me so much that on my hardest day here in Bali, one of my best Bali girlfriends, Sarah, from the podcast, she was on the show recently, on my hardest day in Bali, and I'm just essentially a mess. The trauma that I'm terrified to touch, that I have been terrified to touch my entire life, has been triggered and is alive within my body. I don't know if you can resonate with that feeling. I'm sure some of you can. It was just so activating. It was so alive. I couldn't sleep. I don't think I slept or ate for over 4 days. I was just so consumed by this trigger. And Sarah said that she had a dream of me. This is how much Bali loves me and wants me to be here. She had a dream of me during the week and she dreamt that I was having a really, really hard time. And then she went on my Instagram and could see me doing my normal work stuff, my normal Becca Antonucci thing. And she was like, oh no, Beck's fine. Beck's totally okay. And she didn't text me. And then Sunday comes and I'm having a really hard day. And I open my phone to a text message from her saying, hey babe, this is going to sound maybe a bit strange to you, but I had a dream about you. And my dream told me that you are really not okay. And I just want to check in. And this isn't normal for me to have dreams like this. Are you? And I messaged her back saying, I'm actually going through one of the toughest times of my life right now. The trauma that I've been terrified to touch my entire life has been so triggered. And I know how to support myself through this. And also it feels so insanely hard that I don't know how to support myself through this. And she said to me, would you love company? And we spent Sunday together. She took me for a beautiful lunch. At lunch, she had my favorite pink flowers delivered to our lunch, my favorite pink roses. It was so beautiful. I got to be in my receiving. I got to share so truthfully to my friends about what was going on for me. And it was really beautiful. And then I had a session with my nervous system mentor, Carrie, and I was an absolute mess. And I had so much judgment of myself around this. I was experiencing so much pain and I could see the beauty in everything that I was experiencing, but I was also mad at myself. I was so upset with myself that I knew that my intuition said, Jake, I'm not going to text you for your birthday. My intuition knew that is not going to be good for us. And I chose to anyway. And in the texting of Jake, I knew what would happen. He would message me back and we'd start our little Jake and Beck thing. And I knew that every single part of that was self-abandoning. And through the self-abandonment, he shared with me something that I never wanted to hear. And this got activated. And I see the blessing and I see the beauty. And I'm so grateful that it's happened now, especially because I'm on the other side of it. But when I was in my pain, I was so mad at myself. I kept saying, if I just listened to myself, if I just listened to my intuition, if I hadn't sent that text, if I just done something different, I would not be in the painful experience that I'm in right now. And that to me was, again, such an epiphany moment, because so many women say this to me around everything, but including the herpes virus. If I hadn't swiped that guy on Tinder, if I hadn't worn that short skirt, if I hadn't smiled in that certain way, if I hadn't had that extra glass of wine, if I had have used protection, if I just asked him when he was last tested, if I just done something different than what I did, and if I just shown up in a stronger and better, more aligned way with me, I wouldn't be in the pain that I'm experiencing right now, and I'm the problem. And I was so mad at myself, so mad at myself, so mad at myself. I could see the blessing. Even my nervous system mentor was like, Beck, you know this is here for you, right? No mistakes. And even my best friend, Tracy, you've heard her on the podcast too. She's like, Beck, this is perfect. I know that you're in so much pain right now, but no mistakes. This is here for you. And what was so beautiful about it is I was like, there is no avoiding it now. This is so alive and so consuming. Like, I fucking love food. I couldn't eat. I love sleeping. I couldn't sleep. I was an absolute wreck. And I knew the only thing to do was to go all the way into the pain. And so I went all the way in, and going all the way into it brought me to this memory of being in year 11 science room. And I'm probably going to cry actually, because it brings up so much for me. I would go to high school every single day and I would be absolutely tormented by these girls every day for any woman who resonates with being bullied. It is the hardest experience to go through. And I have so much compassion for young women who are going through this with mobile phones and social media where there's no escape. I just don't know how they do it, that you could leave high school and then go online and see a post that doesn't have your name written in it, but you know it's about you. And to have hundreds of young children comment and create viral, bullying, mean things, I just don't know how I would have ever in a million years survived high school with social media. But I would go to school every day and just be tormented, screamed at, you're disgusting, you're rank. I wouldn't get up at assembly because these girls, I was so studious because my parents wanted me to get A grades. I was on every sport team because I didn't know who I would sit with otherwise. I was so afraid to be alone. It felt so threatening to go to school. It felt so dangerous to go to school because I was just tormented with words every day. And the thing about being a young woman, when you're being tormented with words and you know nothing about the subconscious, is you think maybe I am all of these things that they say about me, and that becomes your subconscious narrative. Maybe I am disgusting. Maybe I am rank. Maybe I'll never fit in this world. Maybe I'll never find a group of people who like and love and accept me. Why am I so different to the rest? Why can't I just fit in? What do I have to do to get their acceptance? How could I present myself? Could I make a joke? Could I be the cool girl? Could I be the funny girl? Could I be the people pleaser? Could I do their homework? Could I be the girl that sleeps with guys? What is it that I could do to get them to try and like me? And then once you've exhausted all of that, it's just like, what can I do just to get them to leave me alone? Like, all I wanted was to be left alone. And in this 11th hour of the Jake breakup and this trauma being so activated within me, and I have this nervous system session with Carrie, I go into my year 11 classroom and my bully, who was once my best friend, she sat in the back right-hand corner and I sat in the front left-hand corner, and she would scream across the room. And we had this little geeky, dorky Asian teacher who could not control the class, and everyone could see what was happening, and she would scream and she would have this cackle, and I would sit there just shaking and just wishing that homeroom would just end. I would do everything I could to avoid being in that classroom. I was on the badminton team. I was doing everything that I could. Any extracurricular activity that was on that would allow me to avoid that room, I was in, but I still had to go there sometimes. And in this memory, I was able to go in as the adult, and up until now, I had rejected that little girl my entire life of like, why were you ugly? Why were you annoying? Why were you a people pleaser? Why did you try and fit in? Why did you do all of those annoying things to try and get their acceptance? Why couldn't you just fit in? Why are you like this? That's been my narrative the entire time. I have rejected the one that was rejected, and I've never been able to create relationship with her. And in this memory, in the 11th hour of this trauma, of this 12-month breakup and this trauma being triggered by the one person who had created so much safety for it my entire life, I was able to sit next to her in this classroom, and my presence felt so big, and I was able to basically create this energy shield around this bullied teenage girl. And as her words, my bully's words, were being screamed at her, it's like every single word would come as an arrow, and it would just hit me and bounce off, and hit me and bounce off, and hit me and bounce off. And I was in this room protecting this teenage girl. And as these words were being screamed, I chose instead to affirm her. And I sat in this room and I protected her and I validated her, but not for being beautiful, not for being popular, not for being all the things that she saw as powerful, but I shared with her, you were so incredible. You have so much energy. You have the ability to impact so many people so greatly. You are going to do such incredible things with your life. You're so smart. I love how you walk about this world. There is so much available to you in your future, and you're going to do so many incredible things. And I poured into her. Everything that I poured into her was about who she is as a woman, as a young woman from within, the energy that she holds and what she is here to do on the planet. And that just came naturally to me. None of it was about being beautiful. None of it was about fitting in. None of it was about anything that teenage girls see as meaningful and important, and all of it was about what I now hold as meaningful and important to me as a woman. And as I said these things, I could really feel them from within. And so to really wrap this up right now, if you are currently experiencing resistance to accepting your inner child or your teenage girl, the reason that I've actually recorded this episode is because when I put it on my Instagram story and I spoke about rejecting the little girl or the teenager, so many of you voted and said, that's my exact experience. I cannot create acceptance for her. So number one, let's just fucking normalize it. She was judged, she was rejected, and her pain has created so much pain and suffering in our adult's life. Let's not wrong that. That's what's true. And maybe there is a resistance to creating acceptance around her and who she is and how she's showing up. And what is it about her that you could start to validate? Maybe not appearance. The truth is, I didn't really find her that beautiful. She had braces. She was dorky. Remember when we used to do those things at the front of our hair and we'd pull those two strands out and tie the ponytail up? And she was a people pleaser and she did want to fit in and she did do unaligned things to try and get attention and acceptance. But I get it. I fully understand why. Like, fuck, as much as my adult chooses this journey and understands why everything happened exactly the way that it did, would have been so great just to fit in. Would have been so great to be popular. Would have been so amazing to be invited to all the parties. That wasn't my experience. That wasn't her experience. But yeah, she wanted that. Of course, she's a teenage girl. And so rather than validating everything that you wanted her to be, pretty, beautiful, all of those things, maybe that's not true. Popular. Maybe she didn't have friends, but maybe she will have friends. And maybe she will feel beautiful when she's older. But what's really true for me about the work that I do, the thing that makes me feel most powerful is the energy that I hold within. And when I give permission to that and I have the courage to express that, my life has absolutely nothing to do with what it looks like and everything to do with what it feels like. And affirming that to her created so much validation for her. She doesn't want to be validated for what I don't see her as. There's no point me calling her beautiful when she's like, she's kind of like, I think you're beautiful, but I don't know if you think I am. And so why would I validate what's not true? But why don't we validate and affirm what is? And why don't we tell her, you know, I sat there and I said, you're so fucking brave. I literally get to be me now because you have the courage to sit here. This is hard. This is so hard for you to go through this and listen to all the things that they're saying. And that is incredible. You have so much bravery and strength within you, more than what you probably feel right now. And that's what's true. So I'm not going to sit there and validate and affirm what isn't true for me and isn't true for her, but I can affirm and I can validate and I can make her feel seen in what really is true. Her strength, her bravery, her courage, what she's stepping into, what I am able to step into because of her strength, bravery and courage, her energy, her ability, her capabilities, how beautiful I feel as an adult woman now because of her bravery then. And so my invitation for you, if you're listening to this and resonating with this, is A, if you are rejecting her, that is okay and very normal. If you are rejecting her and trying to accept her for what doesn't feel true, that's going to feel like misalignment. And she's going to be like, yeah, bitch, I don't believe you. And you're going to be like, yeah, bitch, I don't believe me either. And if pain is showing up in your life, it is here for a reason. Do you have the courage to go all the way into it? I am so grateful for this fucking 12-month breakup and Jake triggering this trauma unintentionally in the 11th hour. I love him. I love him deeply. One of my favorite humans ever. And I'm so grateful that we kept playing out this loop and this dynamic for finally, I was like, why did Jake and I keep doing this? Now I know. Because the one person that I went to save the bullied little girl triggered her trauma the most. So whoever you turn to protect yourself from the pain that you fear going into, they're going to be the same person who triggers it. So do you have the courage and the strength to actually go into it yourself? Because you can avoid it. I fucking did. 35 years of age, 3 years in a relationship where I complained about intimacy, but my teenage girl who went to him for safety was never going to experience deep intimacy with him because my woman wants the intimacy, but the teenager doesn't want intimacy. The teenager doesn't even know about intimacy yet. But I went to him for that, and that's why intimacy couldn't be created. And In the 11th hour, he traumatized her trigger anyway. So do you have the courage to really ask yourself, what is it that I am avoiding? What is the trauma that I am terrified to touch? How is it that I am running from it? And who is it that I am turning to protect myself from going into it? And how can I create the space for me to actually hold the container and the courage for me to really face it head on? And who do I get to resource myself with to allow myself to really go there? I'm lucky that my mentor is Carrie. My best friend is the head coach of my programs. So when this shows up, I can go all the way in because my friends have all been created within these communities. So when pain arrives, Sarah, when she texts me, what's wrong, babe? Is there something wrong, babe? I tell her the full truth. I have triggered the trauma that I've been terrified to touch my entire life. It's the fucking first thing I text her. I'm not afraid to say that to my friends because I have friends and a friendship circle that is built on common values. So what is the trauma that you're terrified to touch? In what ways are you avoiding going into it? Who are you resourcing yourself with to avoid it? Who could you resource yourself with to go all the way into it? My life would not be the same without the friends that I have and the mentors that support me to be even more me. My loves, I feel so complete in that personal journal, but also there were so many beautiful insights in there for you to receive. Remember, I teach through story. I do not tell you a story about me just for me to talk about me because otherwise I'm just fucking talking about me. I teach through story so that you can receive, also be really engaged because this isn't school. Who wants to listen to like a teaching? Listen to my PDF slideshow of why you need to go into your trauma today. Boring. Teach me through sex. Teach me through lived experience. Let's fucking go, baby. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag me so that I can connect with you and so that I can share it as well. I cannot wait to be back in your ears next week. I hope you have the most beautiful, brilliant day. Let's fucking go. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.